Support for KNKX Connect comes from the Falconer family of Western Washington, supporters of a free, independent, and energetic press, who urge listeners to get involved in their local community and to support KNKX.
We had both been to law school, and he said, yeah, but you graduated from the University of Washington Law School. I said, yeah. And he says, well, I applied there. I didn't get in. He wound up at Boston, also a great school. And when he said that, I thought, well, he kind of hesitated for a minute because I didn't know him very well yet, and said, you know, if I had known that someday I'd be sitting here wanting this opportunity as badly as I do, I'd have given you my spot. And he thought that was funny, and it kind of broke the ice, and so I ended up there.
What was it like working with the governor on a speech?
That process was surprisingly streamlined. We would have an initial meeting. I'd kind of get his thoughts on how he would see it shaping up. And I'd go off and talk to a couple of policy advisors and complete a draft. And then once we had a draft, I would get some feedback from the governor, but it would mainly be in Sharpie form on the manuscript. And not a lot, because we were able to zero in on his kind of natural style. So I would characterize it as easy, smooth, certainly far less bureaucratic than in the business world.
You knew there would be phrases or ideas that he'd want to include in most big speeches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every speaker's got a natural style. And I've worked with hundreds of speakers, maybe thousands. And I've yet to meet somebody that didn't have a natural style that wouldn't work if we were just true to it. And with Governor Locke, it was clear that he viewed things very logically. And he was brilliant on these issues, but liked to talk about them in a very plain, simple way. And while we would prepare manuscripts for every speech, word for word, he would always sound like he was speaking extemporaneously if we stayed true to that style.
Getting to know Governor Locke and his manner of speech, any examples you can give or that you remember of lines you would always want to include in a speech or things that he'd always want to make sure were in there?
Yeah. Governor Locke had three key, very simple concepts that he liked. You know, he wanted the state to be a good place to live, work, and raise a family.
Yes.
And this was, which is fantastic for someone like
that.
Me.
Those weren't
he
just
lived
words.
It. He's the yeah. son of immigrants yeah. who build a great life here. He gets to go to college and law school. And of course, by this point, he's governor of the state. So those key values of his, it was really important. Usually you just use the words, but also to make sure that on subtler levels and nuanced levels, the speech reflected those values and didn't betray them or stray too far from those values. So that was one thing. And he was the same guy when you talked to him in the office as, if you did it right, as he was up at the podium.
How do you go from using the phrases you know that he would normally say or the way he would normally say something, but then weaving in your expertise and making it poetic and powerful?
A lot of that is helping the speaker become the very best version of themselves. And if you develop a solid understanding of who they are as a person, what they value, what their view of life, humanity, family, all those things is, you can kind of anticipate things that they would say if they, for example, had thought to say it that way. And this became especially true with some of the ceremonial address that we worked with the governor on. The death of a couple of Washington astronauts in the Columbia disaster. Well, talking on such a somber, ultimate topic is a huge challenge for anyone. And what's really interesting about eulogy, for example, is the audience, too, because they're coming to this somber occasion hoping that this speaker will help them find the meaning. So I feel like there's also a very active emotional involvement by the audience and more of a receptivity to talking in emotional terms about things.
Another example of that was the speech that Governor Locke gave the year after 9/11. We were doing a statewide event. It was in Seattle. We were all talking about what people were going to need to hear from
yes,
him a
right.
year after, and just kind of take us through that process.
with that event, up until that point, there was this perception, at least from my little knothole over a couple months' time, that the governor was not a very good speaker. And part of the challenge of the program that day is there were a couple of very colorful city and county leaders also on the program. And I was counseled to just keep it really short and don't try because he's going to get blown off the stage by these guys. And I disagreed with that just based on my own experience with speeches. Here the governor has this somber responsibility, and he's clearly the person that's leading this program that these people, thousands of people down there at Westlake, and they have expectations and hopes about what this program will offer, and he's kind of the symbolic head of the program. So I didn't think that there was any chance that he'd get upstaged by anybody as long as we stayed true to what we were developing as his style.
How can we best honor those that we lost 1 year ago? The most lasting tribute that we can offer goes beyond expressions and gestures and the sharing of emotions. It lies in what we do. I believe in America. I believe our future is bright because the strength of our nation is reflected in our gathering today, in our diversity, our humanity, and our irrepressible spirit. God bless you all, and God bless America.
To pull a thread of what you were saying when folks said you should just stick to this and keep it short and mm-hmm. don't do that, and when you said I'm going to stay true to this and I'm going to do what I think is right, mm-hmm. did you ever have a time where you wanted to include something and he didn't want that to happen, or the other way around? I mean, how did that play out?
That's a really great question, because there was kind of a major speech like that, and that was the second State of the State speech that I worked on, and it was in 2004, and he had decided, I don't remember if he'd announced yet, but that he was probably not going to seek a third term. We thought if he could leave on this kind of set the tone, not just for this year, but for those that are going to follow him in office, that would be a really cool thing to do. And so I worked on this speech, and I think the theme was kind of similar to FDR had the Four Freedoms speech, and this was the five key things that all Washington citizens are entitled to and we should work for. And it was upbeat, and I felt like we had identified the right five human rights, if you will, for the people of Washington. The governor really liked it and seemed to embrace it. And the next day, he walked over to my desk and said, you know, I'm just not comfortable with this. I think we need to go back to what we usually do. And so I had to kind of, in my mind, probably risk my job, but play a little rough. And I said, look, you know, this is not the time to do the usual laundry list of issues and policies. We want to really uplift people and offer a vision. I got kind of impassioned about it. And he stood there for a moment and looked at me and he says, okay, and walked back to his office. And I thought Nick dodged a bullet there, you know, but it worked out fine. From that point on, he seemed to understand why we were doing it. And the result was, by all accounts, a highly successful speech.
Washington State is rebounding. Our tough decisions are paying off. Our state government is on solid footing. Let's continue this progress.
How would you sum up your time in the governor's office and writing speeches for the governor? How would you sum up that work?
Greatest gig I ever had, hands down.